It's Cofield and Company.
We only have one rule on this team. What is that rule?
ELE.
That's right, ELE. What does ELE stand for?
Everybody love everybody.
Everybody love everybody.
With Steve Cofield.
Well, I don't need to shave because it don't grow in right here and right here.
Now you're telling me that you were so ingrained with white trash DNA that your facial hair actually grows in on its own, all white trashy like that?
And Adam Hill.
Sir, one more outburst, I will strangle you with my microphone wire. You understand me?
On ESPN Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Give me your booze. I am nourished by your hatred.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
All right, here we go on this Monday. Cofield, Adam Hill. Chrissy, Finley Toyota Studios.
It's better to not see me.
Yes.
You like moved a bunch of stuff so there's like a path
I would,
to see
it's
me.
It's just bizarro.
I think it's better to just not see each other.
It's bizarro.
I like kind of that aspect of just being on the phone.
We should do this, the show separate every day. Why not?
Or just
actually, it's getting that way anyway, so.
Block the path of each other to the sight lines of each other.
Sure. I will be on the road with UNLV the next couple of days, so you'll get your wish.
Thank goodness. Well, then you.
Thank goodness.
And then you like G-chat or video chat me during the show.
I think it's worse for you. Then we actually do have to look at each other.
That's way worse.
Yeah, put up that barrier again. That was that weird silence. I was just starting to move stuff around the studio.
Move like 9 microphones and a computer monitor.
Yeah, we're all very busy before the show. Very important stuff going on. Today I was out at the Raiders Henderson groundbreaking. Why weren't you there? It's right in your neighborhood.
True.
What's going on?
It's such a process.
Like you're not number 2 on the Raiders beat in 2 years? Are you not going to ingratiate yourself with the Raiders people now?
I would love to be nice to the Raiders people, to be friendly with them. But that will not be something that's in my job description. Sundays is the one day I absolutely don't want to do anything.
Who wants in on this? What will you give me? Give me 3-1 on my money.
I definitely will not be number 2 on the beat. I might be like number 7. We'll have a lot of people at every game.
We have to work out the parameters of this deal. I will guarantee right now that you'll have at least 2 weekdays that you get screwed up on the radio show because you're covering the Raiders.
No, not for Raiders.
Okay.
Definitely not.
I guarantee it.
No, definitely not.
You're the MVP over there. And you never say no.
Right, but that's
you covered the rodeo.
Everybody,
come on!
Everybody did that.
You did a double dip on Las Vegas Bowl Day and UNLV.
It's true.
Don't say everyone did it that day.
I did do that.
Exactly. So I know what's coming.
No Raiders.
I know what's coming. I think you should have been out there.
I'll be there for game days. I'm sure I'll be helping out on coverage and stuff, but definitely not.
It was interesting. We'll get into it more on the 5 o'clock hour. We got conversations with Napoleon Kaufman and Hendo Mayor Deborah March.
I watched it.
But cool setup. What'd you think watching it?
Like, wow, that looks right by my house. It's very cool.
But you know what you forget? Because I've lived in Henderson before, so I had opportunity to frequent St. Rose Parkway. And you forget just how long it is. And I was also thrown off because there's so much new stuff on St. Rose Parkway that I was like, I don't know where I am right now.
A couple new restaurants out there, mostly of the fast food variety. There's houses and apartments going up all the time and mostly stoplights at every single street.
They're prepping.
It's obnoxious.
Which is, well, you're on the way. What other street? Oh, I was on LV Boulevard. I decided to take LV Boulevard up to from the M towards Cactus.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, there's a lot of left turns here into the desert.
Well, that's really my neighborhood.
Right. I know that's your neighborhood.
Yeah.
But the point being that they're prepping for a lot on LV Boulevard. Boy, it's going to be crazy down that way. And, yeah, I know people have pissed and moaned about the sweetheart deal the Raiders got. What was it, like $6 million for that property? And that was like about half the real value of the property. I think in that case, I haven't seen all of the deals, so I'm sure there are people who are very anti-sports facility and stadium who can trump me on this. But I think that area will benefit.
Oh, yeah.
From the deal they gave the Raiders.
I think so.
So I think it'll work out.
It's a much better investment than the stadium.
Well, the cost is certainly a lot less.
Yes.
They're not throwing in 50, 60, 70% of the $75 million to build the Raiders facility. Right. So for people who don't know, I was at the groundbreaking today. Henderson is going to have the Raiders worldwide facility, as they were touting it. I like that. Makes it a much bigger deal, right?
Yeah.
And it's right there by the Executive Airport, Henderson Airport, so right on Executive Airport Drive. I will ask the question, or you'll hear the answer to Henderson Mayor Deborah March on changing the name of the street.
Al Davis Way.
Mark Badane got up there from the Raiders and said, "We demand this is..." Like Raider Avenue, Raider Street. He actually didn't demand it.
No.
He sort of joked about it.
It makes sense.
But I did try to stir the pot with the mayor.
Fair.
Are you going to stand up to this guy? Maybe I did that, maybe I didn't.
I feel like he didn't really do that.
We'll see.
Oh, good for you.
We'll see.
We will. We're all eagerly anticipating that. We'll find out.
Do you know what else is up and down that stretch of St. Rose? A lot of bars.
I'm
it's a good bar area.
That entire street.
Yes.
I take that street all the time. That's my direct route when we go hang out at Pizza Rock, Steve.
Yes. Yes. And yeah, tomorrow we've got a big remote going down, hockey viewing party. Chrissy will be on the scene during the game.
There's a couple bars, as you said. There's a couple new fast food places. There's a new... like a home improvement type store.
I noticed should I do this joke?
Oh boy.
If Brett Favre comes to town.
A lot of places to take selfies.
Oh, there's at least one rub and tug right
there. Okay. Yeah, fair.
So that's good.
Close. We're on the same page, just slightly different.
Selfies. Oh, selfies. Okay, yeah. All right, I forgot. That's right. Yeah. He did get in trouble for taking a selfie.
Yes. It wasn't his face.
The little guy was cute. All right, well, let's get to what happened this weekend. First of all, let's set up this coming weekend. Boy, that was intriguing, wasn't it? I liked the balls on the fellows over at the Westgate. It was late second quarter, I think. And then all of a sudden, you see on Twitter, all right, AFC Championship game line. That's enough of this. Right. Patriots are going to win. Here's the line, Pats Chiefs.
In that case, they could take it down anyway. It's just that's a marketing thing for sure, but good for them.
Why would you ruin the...
Because we say it about everyone.
Why would you ruin it? It's a great move by Jeff Sherman and John Murray and Ed and Jay Cornegay. And then you're like, it's just a marketing move. They can pull it down.
Well,
they're the best book in the world. Superbook USA. They jumped everyone in setting the line. And then you crap all over it.
Well, they also did it with us in the morning on the show.
No, that was a prediction. This was the line was up. And rubes like myself are like, oh, my God, it's not even halftime.
They're guaranteeing the victory.
They're guaranteeing the Pats have won this game.
No, they're not.
And at that point, I was like, all right, Chargers plus 18.5. Chargers plus 25.5. Let's go. Westgate.
I had Chargers plus 7.5 and plus 10.5. Those didn't work out.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the comeback was fun on Sunday for in-game betting.
Certainly was.
Because I did get those Charger numbers, and I do like when the better team falls behind by a lot, although I don't think I got a whole lot of value. Down 14-0, Saints were plus 2.5. So it worked out.
Yeah, pretty well. Get the money line, though.
Nice. I didn't money line it.
Oh.
I don't know what the money... I never money line. I want some points.
You took plus 2.5? Just take the plus 2.5. Just take the money line.
Plus 2.5 is a terrible number.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah. Take the money.
I got confused between football and basketball. I actually had a basketball game over the weekend. We're just going to talk about my betting to open the show.
Fair.
Duke minus 2.5. So that was good.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Didn't work out.
No.
Not at all.
It would have been cool if P.J. Savoy had just hit the free throw, and then we would have had potentially an overtime game. Or it would have been cool if FSU actually just covered Cam Reddish and didn't let him take a wide open three.
Well, that wouldn't have helped your minus 2.5.
Anything for overtime at that point.
Okay.
Anything. Fair. Anything for overtime. So I had a good weekend. I had a fun weekend. Parties galore.
Yeah.
Fun watching football. I got to watch a lot of college basketball. We'll have to deep dive in the middle of the show into what happened in the Mountain West Conference. I think that was, for UNLV, probably encouraging. But, you know, I'm not a Philly fan, so I didn't feel their pain. And I don't hate Philly. Like, I used to hate Philly a lot.
Philly!
I found their fans super annoying. Like, I can accept that. I think that's
awful.
Just really jovial and lovely.
Terrible.
Philly!
They were right there.
Yeah.
Give me this highlight. This is a play that will go down in Philly infamy from a guy who played so well. Come on, Alshon Jeffrey.
2x2 formation. Snap gets off before the 2-minute warning. Foles in the pocket, throws. And that ball's intercepted.
Go
off
down.
The hands of Jeffrey. Marshawn Lattimore. Yes. Marshawn Lattimore with his second interception of the game.
What a freaking bummer. And it goes without saying, but I'll say it. Dude, come on. And he knows. You got to catch that ball.
Yeah.
The ball was there. It wasn't a bad throw. Ball's there right through his hands. And then Marshawn Lattimore, Johnny on the spot.
It's a play that you want to make, for sure. It's a play you need to make. It's a terrible spot. Now, the unfortunate thing is that it gets intercepted. It doesn't just fall to the turf. And in that case, people forget about it. Never, you know, you just move on and say, hey, you dropped a pass. And you move on and live to fight another day. But in this case, in a huge spot, it gets magnified. And gets magnified by the fact that he recently proclaimed himself of having the best hands in the NFL.
Oh!
That's not good.
Yeah.
It was only his third drop of the entire season. And it just gets blown up that much more because of the spot. But again, you look back, if Will Lutz doesn't miss a kick, doesn't even matter. There's plays that matter. There's plays all throughout that change how the game is played. And, you know, exactly, you know, what play you call, what happens next. Everything else gets impacted by every single play. So, you know, it's not like you can just look back and say, well, if this happens, this changes the outcome. It's not true. But that's a really tough one in a very magnified spot to have happen.
So Saints are 3.5 against the Rams. Chiefs are 3 against the Patriots. We'll have all week to preview those games, but we want to continue to look back and do a little postmortem, especially on Philadelphia. And that city right now is looking for someone to blame. And I don't really get wanting to blame someone for the season you had, or at least the close to the season.
Finley Toyota. They'll do anything to sell you a car. No Toyota problem is too tough, too large, or too small. Keep your Toyota running like a Toyota.
Holds, fakes, rolls, looks. He is looping it down the right side of the field. It is caught. And in for a touchdown goes Jordan Matthews.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
And the Saints are going to fake it up the middle, and they're going to have enough for a first down. And what a call. Taysom Hill right up the middle. And Sean Payton, listen, Deuce, you got to play to win.
Suck it, Philly.
Oh, yeah.
No. I thought
suck
chant
it. It, Philly.
Suck it, Philly.
New Orleans wins. Eagles go down in flames. Close, but no cigar. Do we have to eat crow on the fake? We've been bitching and moaning the last half of the season that coaches need to stop faking on special teams and just put your best players on the field. What do you think? It worked.
Yeah, it worked.
And we don't want to be results driven.
No, and I don't think you can be. But again, we've talked about it in cases where it's incredibly obvious that you're going to fake. Like, you know, last week in the game, like, the broadcaster was like, well, they're certainly going to be aware for a fake here. It doesn't really make sense that they're kicking.
Taysom Hill got it on a dive up the middle. I'd still rather have my offense out there.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any arguing with that. I guess there's the element of surprise, but, eh. I like Taysom Hill as a wildcat weapon, but give me Drew Brees and Thomas and one of those running backs in that O-line. Give me all my weapons. But yeah, it worked. It worked.
I'm with you. It's just, it's much more acceptable when it's not a completely obvious situation.
One of the cool things in the game was that go-ahead touchdown by the Saints, that drive. How nuts was that?
It was insane. It was basically using an entire quarter, keeping the ball in your hands, keeping control of the game, wearing down the defense, and eventually putting the points on the board. I mean, it's one thing to have those drives because a lot of teams, you know, there's different philosophies, but there are teams that really want to have a drive like that. But a lot of, you know, you might end in a field goal or something. Like, to have that drive to go all the way down the field and still end up with a touchdown is incredible.
11 minutes, 29 seconds, 92 yards, 18 plays. Really, it was 22 plays. There were four penalties.
Yeah.
There were four extra plays. And what I thought was really interesting, you know, and this is something that I don't think we get enough of when we talk about football, you know, the nuance of the game. One of the old linemen for the Saints said it was the hardest drive I've been a part of. And he was on the right side.
Yeah.
He said, I was out of breath getting down there. Everyone's tired, but you smell the end zone. You can't give it away. You work too hard when we were driving and we finished it. You know, you don't think about what a drive does. I mean, it's obvious. Hey, the defense is on its heels. You're wearing them down, but your offensive linemen are tired as hell too.
Yeah, but it's like a good tired, because, like, you know, for the most part, the guys that are going against you are just as tired. You know, they might rotate in and out a little bit more on the defensive side, but, you know, you're really wearing them down and pounding them on every single play. And like you said, there was a couple of spots where there's penalties. You get a little bit of a breather, you know, to as they discuss what's going on. That's where you're like, all right, take your time. Talk this out. Figure it out. Don't rush back to make this call. And, you know, it helps in that regard. But, yeah, of course you're tired and you're breathing hard and like, oh, man. But he's right. When you're having success, it makes it a little bit easier.
I mean, it's human nature now, especially in the era of hot take, hot shots, that we have to have someone to blame for the Eagles losing. One, the overarching theme here is Peterson and company just won a Super Bowl, made it to the NFC semis, pushed a great team, the Saints, to the brink, an all-time great quarterback, to the brink. They did most of it with a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Hey, I thought it was interesting. Seth Joyner, who played for the team, is now doing media in Philly, is like, I blame this on Jim Schwartz. You blame what?
What?
20 points allowed?
To that offense?
Blame.
It doesn't make any sense. It's ridiculous. But that's
probably the guy who played the game.
Right. Well, we'd say that all the time. They're giving way too much credit just for playing, for not paying attention or not knowing. But that also is somebody who probably, I don't know, probably had a lot of cheerleading for Nick Foles and was, you know, crowing about how good he was and probably about how good Peterson is too. And then it's tough to backtrack.
He said, I put this loss solely on the shoulders of Jim Schwartz, because as many times as this has happened, as many times as we have had the lead and giving it up. So he's talking about past games too. Yeah. Titans and the Panthers disaster, almost giving away the Rams game after having great leads. All right, well, you know what? Fire Jim Schwartz, see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know what will happen to the Eagles defense. I know that, there's not many openings left. But Jim Schwartz, the Eagles DC and former Lions head coach, would be scooped up immediately.
Well, somebody would probably get rid of their coordinator to get him.
Possibly.
Like you said, there's no jobs left. There's jobs left if it's him. Like, I'm not hiring him as a head coach.
He's good.
But if I have a defense to run, I'm definitely getting him.
Yep.
There's no question. But this was – I think they overachieved this year, the Eagles did. So, I mean, to put blame or to say, hey, this guy cost whatever, it's all silly. They did more than, you know, could be expected. Like, looking
26 and 11 and 4-1 in the playoffs the last 2 years. Fire the DC.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
You have to have played the game to have a strong take like that.
Sure.
Here's the other narrative that's developing. This isn't serious, right? They're all trolling on the Foles v. Wentz decision. There's no decision.
No, but I think there's rightful concern about Carson Wentz.
What's the concern?
I think there's a long-term injury concern. I mean, you know, back injuries don't just go away. He's been having lingering issues now for 2 years.
Well, he had a bad leg injury last year. You don't bounce back in 1 year.
Right. But now...
Is the back injury related to the leg injury?
Very possibly. I think it's very possible. If not, it might even be more of a concern. Like, how is it going to be every year? Is there going to be something to deal with every single year? How long is this going to linger? And How good is he?
Now we have questions about how good he is.
I always have.
This is hilarious.
I always have.
Week 11 last year, the guy was the MVP of the league.
Right.
Now we're questioning if he's good. What?
Yeah. I mean, did he get out before they started figuring him out? Before we started to see the downturn? Did he get out, and then he could just be remembered as, wow, that guy was great. Nobody ever figured him out.
The problem is the other option is not guaranteed.
Of course, that's why
that's
it's
my
not...
problem here is all of a sudden we act like Nick Foles because he had a great Super Bowl. He sucked at the end of last regular season. He was good in the playoffs and then great in the Super Bowl.
Terrible early this year.
He was terrible early this year. Good at the end of the season.
Well, that's why I don't...
How would you grade yesterday?
Okay.
Yeah, solid, not spectacular. I got to tell you, the interception he threw down the left sideline was a terrible pass. The first interception by Lattimore that would have had them moving towards 21-0. The receiver was open. He underthrew it by 4 yards.
Yeah.
A little flick down the left sideline. Like, bro, you got to get it there. I'm confident Carson Wentz gets that ball there.
No, I'm not. But that's...
No, I'm not.
It's also... That's why there's
Adam's
not...
confidence meter with quarterbacks, there's like 3.
Yeah.
Watch as this show
true.
Goes along.
No, true.
He doesn't like anyone
that's
right now.
True.
Wait until we get to Brady.
There's only like 3 great quarterbacks.
But, oh my God.
But that's why it's not an issue. Like, when you started this off saying there's actually this debate. No, there's not a debate. There's no debate. Carson Wentz is your guy.
There is. There's no debate on this show.
Carson Wentz is your guy.
Right.
He has to be.
Yes.
Now, should there be concerns? Yes. Like, I don't mean Carson Wentz is your guy because he's this great quarterback that's going to be fine next year and you're in great hands. I mean, Carson Wentz is the guy because he's the younger option. He's the better contract option. Like, everything is there for him to be the quarterback. He's got to be the quarterback. You're married to him now. Like, we talk about in other cases, sometimes you get married to a quarterback.
But this case is different. Don't compare Carson Wentz to Dak Prescott, please.
No, Wentz is better. But there should be some lingering injury concerns about him.
There are concerns about his back. I'm not concerned about his leg.
No, his back.
I mean, the dude, come on. The dude's got 70 touchdowns and 28 interceptions in his career.
Yeah.
And he was, through week 11 or 12 last year, the MVP. And now, because Foles won the Super Bowl, because the Foles story is popular. I don't know. We're going to talk to one of the guys on the Philly market who's on WIP. Maybe he's on this, you know, keep Foles, get rid of Wentz. This is one of the most drummed up, stupid stories I've seen in recent sports history.
I think it's ridiculous. I would agree with you.
Nick Foles is going to land somewhere. He's going to be a dude who gets... What do you think he'll get in free agency? 3 years, $54 million, like 23 guaranteed, something like that?
He'll get something stupid.
Case Keenum got $36 million, 20 of which was guaranteed for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to get a ridiculous contract.
Yep.
There's no question.
And it is going to be a mistake.
Completely agree with you.
I don't get it.
I don't either. But this is what people do with quarterbacks. It just is.
It's whatever you've seen lately. We now forget how good Carson Wentz is and was. Well, it's not like he didn't play this year.
It's the hope. It's why, like, you know, we've talked about other organizations where you've got a perfectly fine quarterback, but you want Aaron Rodgers. Or you want Tom Brady. There's not many out there. There's like 3. So when you have, again, you know, the Eagles now have this debate going on, which is crazy. Like, I think Wentz is a top half of the league quarterback, no question. The injury concerns are a problem, but you've got him now. He's yours. You can't try to have another one and say, well, maybe this guy's even better than that. It doesn't work that way. There's so few.
Interesting. I'm just reading a story by Mike Freeman, NFL guy from Bleacher Report. Teams looking for quarterbacks might be in pursuit of Foles. And I'm pretty sure there is no trade involved here with Foles because, I don't know, the option on Foles is $20 million. I'm not sure they can trade him after the option.
Right.
Teams that may need a quarterback. Dolphins? Jaguars?
Okay.
Broncos, really? Wouldn't that be epic?
That's great. A year after that,
they give $20 million guaranteed to Keenum. They dump him, and then they bring in a bigger Case Keenum. Dolphins, Jaguars, Broncos, Giants, and the Redskins. This has Giants written all over it. Yeah. They're so desperate.
Yeah.
So does Dwayne Haskins at, like, the second pick for a future first. Like, the Giants will move up and have to give up a future first, which you hate.
Or Kyler Murray.
I don't think they would do it for Kyler Murray. But who the hell knows, man? Once the freaking quarterback machine starts rumbling, people get crazy.
Of course.
Dolphins, Jaguars, Broncos, Giants, Washington, and the Raiders are among those believed to be looking for quarterbacks.
Interesting.
I know Derek Carr. I was sitting 8 feet from him today.
True.
He was there.
His shovel technique was very solid.
Yes. Although he grabbed the behind the right leg. No, I'm kidding. Making up stuff now.
Yeah. Perhaps an injury.
If the Raiders dealt Derek Carr to bring in Nick Foles, I can't say this enough times because I keep using it as my go-to. We're taking the money back. You're not getting the stadium.
How long can we do that for?
I don't know.
I mean, it's like halfway done.
I want the threat to be out there.
At this point, it'd be very stupid to be like, now we've got a half-constructed stadium and you're not coming.
I know, right?
We spent all the money anyway. The stadium's
just
half
build,
done.
Just, you know what? Just build, finish one level. UNLV can play there. You have a smaller 40,000 seat stadium.
But it's already it's not like they can stop right now. Well, it's just, already kind of built. I don't know,
build
to the
some,
highest.
Put up some banners and stuff.
Okay. I mean, I don't know.
One of the councilmen from Henderson, Dan Shaw, was joking about wanting to have say in some moves and stuff. Very, very much joking. So, I think we have a say.
What do you think?
Raiders, don't consider Nick Foles, please.
Did you ask for his take on Foles versus Carr?
We will.
Okay.
We'll work on it.
Good.
The Raiders wouldn't do that.
I think
right?
It'd be a good move.
John Gruden wouldn't do this, would he?
Well, it depends how he did in that quarterback camp thing.
John Gruden wouldn't do this, would he?
Did Foles sit down with him and kind of break down film and do the thing where he has to be pals with him?
John Gruden wouldn't do this, right?
I think he might.
Oh, stop.
Maybe this is a Mayock. This is Mayock's call.
All right, we got to do some research during the break.
Very pro Foles.
Are we the outlier on this? Who are like not wowed by Nick Foles still? It's like so many people have been converted. I don't get the love affair with the guy.
Well, a lot of people only watch playoff games too, and in that case, he's amazing. But I think this would be.
It's just a bizarro world now. Carson Wentz, and that's. Can you imagine Carson Wentz hitting the market with an affordable salary? What the get would be? I mean, is that why it's intriguing? People are thinking like, but are the Eagles in the business to get multiple first round picks? I don't know. I mean, you know what? Maybe John Marks is going to join us from WIP. Maybe he can sell us on it. I'm not buying it. Boy, the other thing, the postmortem, the Cowboys. Am I being average fan, knee-jerk guy, by saying enough with Garrett?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe, but I've been kind of done with Garrett for a while.
You're 90 seconds away from more Cofield and Company. Right here on ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yo, congratulations, man. Congratulations. Hey, Sean, what do you think of the critics that say that you're too good of a coach? That's what we're hearing right now.
That's a good comment.
All right, rolling on here on this Monday. Adam Hill, Jared, Cofield. So you've been done with Garrett for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really see the need to keep him around and keep pushing forward with him. But they have, and he got to the playoffs, and it's tough to get rid of him at this point. But I haven't seen him as something, you know, as someone that's indisposable for a long time.
The dude's what? I think he's 79-63 in his career now, so 566 winning percentage. 2-3 in the playoffs, so he's got two playoff wins with one of the richest teams in football, with one of the richest owners in football, with what recently has been an above-average roster, one of the best offensive lines in football, top three running back in football, two playoff wins in 9 years.
Yeah, a great defense.
I mean, this would... Is he the white Marvin Lewis? Well, Marvin Lewis never won a playoff game. Marvin Lewis was about 7 games over 500 in 1,000 years. So I think he's like 131 and 123.
Right.
But they're not much that much different.
That's 8. I know you weren't being exact.
Yeah.
It's just math checking.
Math!
Math checking.
I'm usually pretty good. I don't get credit for remembering the numbers.
Well, I think you threw it off by using these 7 games over.
Yeah.
So even if those were the correct numbers, kind of throws
actually,
it off.
I don't have those in the notes. I've just been reading so much on Marvin Lewis.
Why? I'm
shocked he didn't get an interview. I don't get it.
Yeah, but, and you know, we talked about this on the Sunday show, but Garrett is in a tough spot because he's, the Cowboys are married to Dak Prescott. They are, for right now. And that makes it very difficult.
I also think it's interesting from Jerry Jones' standpoint. Does Jerry Jones recognize that there's only so many coaches who will deal with his BS, who are going to be cool with? Because one of the first things I thought of, what a unique thought. Anyway, one of the candidates I think would work in Dallas would be Mike McCarthy. But is Mike McCarthy going to allow Jerry and Steve to sit at the freaking table, you know, the beginning of the week for these meetings? Still go back to that Amazon, you know, Cowboy season thing, and I was just like blown away that these two jabronis are sitting at the football discussion table. Just get out!
How much? I didn't watch
it. Why are you here?
How much
did they talk? The football experts are speaking.
How much did
they
talk, though? Did they ever say anything?
Did they ever say anything?
I didn't watch
it. Yeah, they're totally involved.
But
Jerry's chiming in left and right.
Are the coaches just ignoring it, though?
No.
I don't think they're actually implementing the plan.
No, absolutely. They're... Jerry Jones runs the meeting.
All right, then I would say just keep Jason Garrett. Like, you're not going to get any better. Just let it keep going.
Is that the sad reality?
Yes.
For Cowboys fans?
Case.
That your owner won't back off, so this is the guy who can sort of deal with it, and you get to win a division every once in a while, and your average season's about 9-7. You'll make some playoffs. But really, getting over the top with an elite coach, not going to happen.
Yeah,
because we've seen guys try to go in there. Obviously, Parcells was elite, and he's like, I can't do this.
I don't know how many coaches would actually put up with that. So I would say any good coaches. If you're a really good coach, I could see you saying, no, I'm not going to deal with it. So, yeah, maybe just accept the status quo and be what you are and just keep pushing on with this guy. What
did you think of the game, the Rams game against the Cowboys? I felt like when the Rams needed to, they simply pressed on the gas pedal.
Yeah.
Like, they could do what they wanted, which would suggest that they should have annihilated them. But it felt comfy.
Oh, yeah.
And when they needed to really get going, they just did it.
Yeah, it felt...
I don't know. It never felt in jeopardy. It's not like it was a blowout.
No. It was one of those games where, like, a 2-score lead was like a 4-score lead. Where, like, yeah, if you cut it to 7, fine. Well, let's go make it 14. We're fine.
How about this one? How about the Rams linemen coming out and saying they knew exactly what was coming at them defensively?
Well,
is that just talking trash, or we catch them in a real moment of honesty? John Sullivan, the Rams center, said they had a lot of tips and tells on what the Cowboys were going to do by looking at where certain players lined up or what stance they were in.
Well, you know, I mean, you already know what I'm going to say.
Here we go. Genuflect at the feet yes. of the man with the most well-groomed game day beard. And is there a name for that point on the hair that he does?
Like a widow's peak?
No, because a widow's peak is like Eddie Munster.
Okay.
Sort of like Jared looking. Okay. Not Jared's hair right now, but...
It's just, I guess, it's like a sign of intelligence.
Just
I
say it. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, just say it. We're men here. It's okay. It's a boy genius.
Everything about him is just spectacular in every way.
We were laughing. We were laughing with him. I think it was like a fourth quarter celebration. It might have been big CJ Anderson touchdown, and I don't know, there was something with like the fist pump where he's like pumping and then pointing.
Yeah.
I just really like that. It's everything
That's
about
his
the guy.
Move.
Okay,
you don't study McVay enough.
We are sick about this guy. We really are.
Well, I mean, if you're on board, I welcome you. But you know,
always been on board.
This is my sickness. This is my sickness that I've had for a long time.
I know. Well, I've been on board.
We
love the man.
That play call to get on that third down on the third down play right after the 2-minute warning and run out the clock. My goodness.
That was like a tasty sandwich just got put in front of you with that. Look at that.
He got Goff on the move. He got receivers at two different levels. And just I'm pretty sure it was a designed keeper all the way. But he also had two different guys that could be open if they decided to cover the quarterback role that would have been just wide open for easy throws that even Goff could make. To design that play and run it in that situation was perfect.
All right, more on the boy genius, more on the two-headed monster that is now the Rams running game. But next up, we're going to try to get out to Philly and find out what's happening on the ground in the city of brotherly love and how angry they were after getting bumped from the playoffs.
Cofield and Company returns in minutes. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
It is a great honor for me to introduce head coach of the New York Jets, Adam Gase.
I just want to start off thanking Christopher Johnson, Mike McKagan, the rest of the Jets organization. I know it was a long process for you guys, a lot of candidates. I know it was a lot of tireless nights. I know we had a couple late night FaceTime sessions there at the end, which is always fun when you kind of think it might be the call and it's not. So that was a good start. It was a long 9 days, long 10 days. I know my family was eager for me to get out of the house for sure.
Yeah, let's go, gang green.
Well, there was a lot in there. The guy got fired by the Dolphins, and then he had a long 9 or 10 days waiting for the next job. Is that what he's saying? And then the eyes, I didn't get to watch this because I was at the groundbreaking for the Raiders facility.
The crazy eyes were a problem.
He does it all the time. How do we not notice this?
I don't know.
It really, you know what? It shows social media, like outside of a few markets, does not pay attention. How do we not get Adam Gase crazy eyes for the last like 5 years?
Were they crazier today, though?
I don't know. That's a great question. Let's talk crazy. Although, you know, I'm not sure what happened in Philly this morning and this afternoon. John Marks does radio there on WIP. John, how you doing?
I was with you with Gase, man. I never noticed those eyes before. Has he always done that? There's no way that he's always looked like that.
They got like 12 shots of him doing it. I'm like, what is wrong with him?
You know, during the show, we were at a sports bar today, day after game, and you know, there's like a 180-foot TV with Gase, and I'm like, is he on something? Like, what's going on? I never noticed it before, but it was scary. I wouldn't want to play for that guy.
Isn't there only one sports bar, by the way?
Oh, there's lots of sports bars. Where are you at today?
Chickies and Treats.
Of course.
Which is it's where everybody goes down by the stadiums.
That's what you were thinking, right, Adam?
Of course. I mean, when he said a sports bar, I was like, well, we know what the sports bar.
I like Chickies and Pete's. You got the crab fries.
Yeah, man.
We're all about it. We're two fat guys doing radio in Vegas, but, you know, we love Philly, we love New York, we love Boston. All right, so let's get to it. What was the caller reaction today? Anger? People demanding someone gets fired? What was it like?
Warm and fuzzy.
What?
It was a warm and fuzzy fan base today, guys. And it made me feel good. And I didn't feel like that because I was, like, I'm not calling for people's jobs and saying Doug should be fired and cursing and yelling, but I also recognize that they should have won that game yesterday. And whether they won the Super Bowl last year or not, you don't get a lot of opportunities in this league to be one game from going to the championship game. And that's where the Eagles were last night. And, listen, they were inside the 30-yard line driving, and if you milk that clock properly, the Saints maybe don't get the ball back. But instead, Alshon Jeffrey has the worst drop of the year, and it's ball game. But no, I mean, I heard a lot of, I'm proud of my team today, and we love these guys and everything else, which I agree with. I don't think they let the city down, but they're too damn close to go to the championship game. That's a bad loss, man.
Who else, aside from Jeffrey, because he's obviously the GOAT in that moment, who else did you point a finger at and say, hey, you didn't get the job done?
Nick was terrible. Nick Foles was terrible, and I'm a firm Nick believer. I don't know if he's a guy that can do it over a full season, but not a backup player, but a part-time player. He's shown a knack for coming up big in big spots. Yesterday he didn't, and it was set up for him getting the ball back. The Saints missed the field goal. It was set up for him to have one of those drives, and he was doing it. But Nick played poorly. That killed him. Really, the whole offense, if you looked at it, they scored 14 points in the first 10 minutes of the game, and they didn't score another point the rest of the game. So, and a lot of people are angry at Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator, because he has this style of not blitzing. And in the third quarter, when they were sending four rushers, it didn't even look like they were sending any rushers. That's how easily the offensive line was picking it up. So I think more people blame Schwartz than anybody, which is, I'm not a Schwartz guy necessarily, but they held them to 20 points in the Saints building. So I'd say it's a pretty good day for the defense.
Yeah, we actually just discussed that. Do you want to fire Schwartz and have every other team fight for him tomorrow?
Well, I mean, I think you're overstating what he is. So before Jim Schwartz, Chip Kelly brought in a guy named Billy Davis, who is currently the linebackers coach at Ohio State, a collegiate program. And he was the defensive coordinator, and he was clearly overmatched. Now what you see with Jim Schwartz is he's definitely a professional D coordinator. He's a top 10 guy for sure. If he left here, he would get teams that want him. But his style with the kind of the personality of the city is we like blitzing. We had Buddy Ryan. We had Jim Johnson later, who was defensive coordinator under Andy Reid. They were blitz heavy. They were blitz happy. And Schwartz doesn't do it that way. He's a very basic. He's gonna rush four a lot of times. No blitzing. He's gonna play zone. He's gonna play man. And listen, 20 points, you should win that game. So I can't be pissed about Jim Schwartz from yesterday.
So the other conversation we were having is about, you know, the quarterback situation, which to us seemed like a very ridiculous conversation. Like, Carson Wentz is the future, and Foles kind of just is what he is, and he's going to be somewhere else, right?
Yeah, well, see, and there's also details there. So you know, when as a sports radio host, you can't both – I work with Ike Reese, who's a former Eagle. We both can't have the same opinion of squashing it. So then it's not a conversation. But there was a good – so each win that Nick Foles gets – and remember – he came in, he was Super Bowl MVP. Carson Wentz did not play well this year. Each win that Nick gets when he comes in to where the team looks like it's dead, you get more and more people come over to the Nick Foles side and be like, well, maybe we shouldn't let him go, right? And then they win three straight, and then they beat the Bears. If he would have beat the Saints and played well in doing it, I think the fans and the media certainly would have stirred that up. But ultimately, the organization was going to stick by Carson Wentz, because he was drafted. He's 4 years younger. He's got the upside over the next 10 years to get them there again. And Nick Foles hasn't proven himself as a starter in this league. And by the way, Carson Wentz can't stay healthy. So it's not a perfect scenario for the Eagles, but they have a young stud. They think he's going to be a Super Bowl quarterback. It's a no-brainer that you're going to keep him.
Now, on that Wentz situation, the concern that I do have, first of all, I mean, he's done it somewhat consistently, but it hasn't been for a long time. He's still a young player. But there also is this injury concern that keeps popping up. It was the leg, now it's the back, and back injuries don't exactly just go away. How much concern is there about his future?
So he got hired He got hurt in high school, and I can't believe I'm going all the way back to high school, but he hasn't had that long of a career. He got injured in high school his junior year, and it's one of the reasons why he didn't go to a major program was he was hurt. So then rookie year, he breaks ribs in the preseason. He plays the whole season, mind you, but he broke ribs in the preseason. At North Dakota State, he had a serious wrist injury where he missed most of his senior year. He tore his ACL. Now he has a stress fracture in his back. This is a guy that is going to continue to get injured. I just believe that. And it certainly is a concern. Now, is it enough of a concern where you're going to not sign him to a contract extension? No, it's not. But it's something you need to be mindful of when having a backup. And for Nick, it worked out well. He won the Super Bowl in relief. He took them back to the playoffs this year in relief. But if you keep him any longer, all else being equal, if they could bring Nick Foles back for a top backup price, which they can't based on economics, based on what Nick is going to command, you can't have two good quarterbacks like that. Bill Parcells said once, if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. He was really meaning you have two quarterbacks that aren't good. The Eagles actually have two quarterbacks that are good, but it's a distraction. Nick Foles can't be there because there's guys that believe Nick Foles is probably the better quarterback. So you wish Nick well. You say, hey, man, in a couple years, if you want to be the backup again, come on back. But Nick needs to go out and try to be a starting quarterback in this league. He failed before when he left. He wants to do that again, so go let him do that. And let's see what happens. I'll be rooting for him.
John Marks, WIP in Philadelphia. Are there guys in the locker room who believe Foles is the better quarterback? Could that be a problem for Wentz next year?
I don't believe. Well, here's what it's good. Here's the problem that Foles will present even not being here, is guys like me that once upon a time were big Wentz fans, and I still am. But this past year, if you look at his numbers, his numbers are better than his play. He's at 70% completion percentage. His touchdown to interception ratio was ridiculous. The yards per game was ridiculous. But too many times at the end of games, he had a chance to lead the team down the field and win. And that's something Nick Foles has done in his short time being the starter here in the last two seasons. So the devil's in the details with stats, but really what Nick needs to do is win games. And he was coming off an ACL injury, and he had a back injury in the season. I'm willing to give the mulligan. But any game that he doesn't come up big or he loses, you're going to get the up, see, he doesn't win the big games. He's not clutch. He started to get the non-clutch gene this year, so that's what he has to worry about.
Are you going to push in the offseason for a big-name signing like a Le'Veon Bell?
No. They don't have the money for Le'Veon Bell. The Jets can overpay for him. So what they need to do is they need to draft somebody. They do. They need to draft a running back. And I don't know if it's first round or it's second round, but they've struck out with running backs. The Kareem Hunt draft, where they could have had Joe Mixon. They tried to get Dalvin Cook, but the Vikings jumped ahead of them because Eagles wouldn't pay the price for the draft pick that the Saints actually wanted. So they need to solidify the running back situation. And they need to upgrade a wide receiver, too. No matter what you do this offseason, it has to be to make sure Carson Wentz has weapons and is protected next year. Jason Peters is going to the Hall of Fame at left tackle as an Eagle. Is he going to come back next year? He missed time this year. Almost every game he seemed like he was nicked up with something. So they got to figure out the offensive line. But, I mean, I would concentrate on not bringing in big money guys at running back, but kind of signing the guys that you want going forward and then figuring it out from there. Next year might be another 10-6 season because you really have to look at the prize, which is getting back to being elite. And this roster right now is not elite.
Two other Philly-related issues to close on with John Marks. Bryce Harper is our guy. He's from Vegas. Are the Phillies going to pay whatever it takes to get Bryce Harper?
You know, it's funny because I don't believe anything that comes out right now with these stories between Machado and Harper, because information is being leaked for a reason.